Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Shewell. This is going to be a little bit of a different episode. It is a solo episode, so it'll probably be a bit shorter. But as some of you may have noticed, up until the last episode with Mary Sutherland about the paranormal in Burlington, which I have to say I really thought was pretty excellent episode. Up until that point, I had been on something of a hiatus. For about a little over a month, and I just want to talk about that. This is a little bit of a different kind of episode. It's not really paranormal, but it touches on a number of things that are certainly paranormal adjacent. I just wanted to reassure everyone that I'm not dead, that the men in black didn't silence me, that I'm not in a container in the Smithsonian, I haven't been abducted, none of the above. Just been going through a very strange time, a time of like weird energy. And I'm not usually a person to believe in things like that. I've come more and more so to the longer I've been involved with this type of stuff. But this was a very unusual period of time. I believe it has ended, but it was quite difficult while it was going on. And I'll just kind of describe what it was like. I am no astrologer, and I've never really followed that, though I don't discount it. I just, you know, I don't pay attention to newspaper horoscopes or something like that, but real astrology. I believe that there are people who can tell you things based upon doing astrological charts. And hopefully I'll be able to do something with that at the Strange Realities Conference in Nashville coming up very soon, coming up about a month from now. But yes, it wasn't a time of Mercury retrograde, but what the things they've described as happening during Mercury retrograde were what was happening to me. Like, everything was glitching, everything was failing, everything, weird events were happening that never happened, and ordinary things that always happen just weren't working at all. And it made me really kind of question my views on fate and free will versus predestination, because I was trying so hard to do things and everything took forever. It was kind of like the reverse of synchronicities, where things just work out and just flow. This is like the opposite of that. Like, nothing could get done. And there are just all these weird things that happened. I posted on about my dog being attacked by another dog. And that situation ended up way more long and drawn out than I had ever expected. And there were a ton of medical appointments. None of them were like emergency or like life-threatening or anything, but they piled up, where between myself, my wife and my dog, we're going to an appointment like every day, sometimes more than one. And these just seemed to come out of nowhere, that they all just stacked up day after day after day. Other things, just everything took on a life of its own. I agreed to handle a minor legal matter for a former client. I planned on spending 1, maybe 2 hours on this. Even if I had to drive around to drop off some paperwork or something, maybe 3 hours at very most. This has taken dozens of hours to do something really simple and easy. Everything was like that for about a month. There was, in the period of about 4 weeks, I had multiple experiences where I'd be in a fast food drive-thru, and I don't even eat that much fast food, but everything was taking so long that I was trying to just grab a quick meal. And 4 times I ended up sitting there for over 30 minutes. And they were different chains. And this was, I do live in the city, but this was happening in the suburbs. It happened in the city, it happened in the suburbs. I know how long it takes to go through a drive-through when there's 3 cars ahead of you. And yet, it doesn't take 35 minutes, but it did. And this didn't happen once. This happened 4 times at 3 different chains. It was crazy. And it was inexplicable. There was no explanation for why that would take that long. Sitting in a Burger King drive-thru when there was 1 car ahead of me and it took a half hour for me to get my meal. And I'm looking in to the dining area and it's not crowded at all. Like, everything just took forever. Also, I went to businesses that I frequently go to, and the sign on the door would say open until, say, 5. And it's closed. There's nobody there. And it's 3:30. Like, what the hell? You know, this happened not once or twice, but several times. Just nothing could seem to get done. When the store was open, I'd go in, and products that they sell would be out of stock over and over and over. I remember trying to carry out a very basic grocery list and nothing particularly exotic on it and not even a particularly long list, but I ended up having to go to 3 different stores because things were always out of stock. And I'm like, what is going on here? This is not how long things take. Everything just took forever. It gave me the sensation of trying to run through a swamp where you can't run through a swamp, a marsh. You have to put 1 foot in, then pull it out of the mud, then put the other foot in, then pull it out of the mud. It felt like that for weeks. Just, that doesn't mean everything went wrong. We had some victories. Some things went completely right. But the general impression was just everything took forever. And it seems to have broken. That seems to have let up. But it just was a weird time. And it did make me, I've always been a believer that you can get done. You can make your own fate. That you set your goals and you do what it takes to get them. That you determine that you want something, you figure out the steps that it takes to get that, and you go carry that out. That's how life works to me. That month really caused me to question that and how much was possible, how much you can do on your own free will when, like I said, it was like the reverse of synchronicities. It's like nothing was lining up. Like everything was delayed. Everything was out of stock. Whoever I needed to talk to wasn't there. It was an unbelievable series of events. And they all sound trivial. You know, if that happened once in a while, that happens once in a while. C'est la vie, so is life, you know. But when they happen multiple times a day, day after day after day, it starts to mess with your head. And it was a very difficult month. I had planned on putting out quite a few podcasts and just could never literally find time because I was spending 30 minutes in a drive-through because I'm spending, you know, traffic was terrible. Things that should take an hour were taking 3 hours. And at the end of the day, I was just exhausted and still not having accomplished half the things I wanted to. That seems to have dissipated, but it was a very real thing. And it, you know, I can't explain it. I don't think that there was anything I wasn't under a curse or something. That's not what I think happened at all. But it just was like, there's this constant feeling of obstruction, this constant feeling of just things dragging on and absorbing all my time. And that's why you didn't hear from me for a little while. But I am back and forging ahead, and things do seem to be working out now. This is the second podcast I'm recording this week, and the first being with Mary. So in a week's time. And I plan on going fully forward from here. And again, I've been saying this for a little while, but we are going to ramp up the weird part and make it a fully functioning Patreon podcast. I'm also joined a platform that's being started by several performers and artists, but really helmed by AJ Lunn, a good friend of mine and familiar to people who listen to this type of thing. And he's setting up a platform that should be very interesting in the near future. So yes, I just wanted to inform my listeners that I am back. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention in the true crime department that a man, Dwayne Keith Davis, a.k.a. Keefy D, was arrested in the murder of Tupac Shakur, which is a real shocker. This happened, the arrest was 5 days ago, and he was in court charged with murder in Las Vegas 4 days ago. It's fascinating that somebody was finally caught for this. He is not accused of pulling the trigger, but he is apparently self-admittedly the ringleader of the group that killed Tupac, and that he provided the gun. In fact, he wrote a book where he mentioned that he provided the gun that killed Tupac, which seems like not the smartest move ever made, but yeah, that's in part how Las Vegas Metro Police caught him. So he's in jail. Interestingly, Suge Knight, who is already in prison for murder, has made a very public statement that he won't testify. Despite being the other guy in the car when Tupac was murdered. So I'll just let that hang there, and hopefully there will be some revelations to come out of this other than just, you know, one person being put away. As I've commentated on this topic before, that I absolutely believe there was a larger conspiracy, well, a conspiracy being two or more people, there obviously was, but a possibly much larger conspiracy to kill both Tupac and Biggie Smalls. And that this has stayed silent for over 20 years. And yet, you know, now it seems to have cracked. To kind of draw a comparison, people often say, conspiracy denial people, that, well, if there really was a conspiracy to kill, say, President Kennedy or Senator Kennedy or Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X. Now, in Malcolm X's case, there obviously was a conspiracy because four guys shot it. And they were arrested and served lengthy prison terms. But that there was a larger conspiracy. Well, there couldn't be a larger conspiracy because somebody would crack. And that, to me, betrays a total misunderstanding of how conspiracy works. And particularly when it comes to murder. Nobody's going to crack if cracking means you go to prison for the rest of your life. Apparently, the guy that was arrested here, Dwayne Davis, thought that enough time had passed that he could basically brag about having provided the gun. But it hadn't. And it, obviously, there hasn't been a trial. There has been a finding of probable cause, but there hasn't, you know, he has not been convicted. So I'm not going to say that he did it, but he's certainly in jail for it. That's why conspiracies work, because it's not in anybody's interest to say anything. Now, he provided the gun that killed Tupac Shakur, a very famous musician, activist of a sort, and actor. And just by talking about it, he's in jail facing the rest of his life. So what if you provided the gun that killed President Kennedy or Martin Luther King? Would you be quick to talk about that? Of course you wouldn't. You know, if you're the person who pulled the trigger, if you were the person who helped somebody get away with it, you have no interest in this world in cracking. So the common fallacy that there couldn't be a conspiracy because somebody would crack doesn't hold up in real life at all. Whether it's the murder of a very famous person or whether it's the murder of a nameless, you know, individual common person. Murder cases don't really work like that. Nobody has a real incentive to talk unless they're caught for something else and only have a tangential role and feel they can trade information for more lenient sentence. That happens, yes. But high-profile assassinations, you're not going to get that kind of cooperation. And if you look at how many witnesses to something like the assassination of President Kennedy, how many mysteriously died or were straight-up murdered, most of all Lee Harvey Oswald, who was gunned down within, was it 24 or 48 hours after the president was killed? There's the tendency to crack isn't really a thing. And if I may say, when somebody does crack, it's often just completely ignored. There were three people who, I might say, came forward in different ways and made the statement that Lyndon Johnson okayed the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Those three people were a woman whose name escapes me, who was one of Lyndon Johnson's mistresses, who wrote a tell-all and is pretty much ignored. That she said that, yeah, Johnson knew about it and allowed it to happen. Another was a man named Billy Sol Estes, who was a close friend of President Johnson. And after his death, Estes was in trouble for something else. And he testified under oath in federal court that Johnson had okayed the murder of multiple people, including President Kennedy. And the press was completely dismissive, even though testimony under oath is evidence. It's not proof, but it is evidence. It's legal evidence. And where did that go? Nowhere. So the idea, the third person was E. Howard Hunt, who was involved in Watergate and who made a deathbed confession recorded by his son that he was involved in the Kennedy assassination. That he was in Dallas that day and was involved in it. And once again, it got reported and then went absolutely nowhere. The idea that conspiracies can't happen because someone would spill, someone would crack, is not supported by reality. Especially when it involves murder, assassination, things that can put you away for the rest of your life and or get you killed if you talk about it. It's amazing that someone has come, well, not come forward, but been arrested, been captured in Tupac's murder. Now, you can imagine if that was the murder of a president or a very prominent social leader, you know, conspiracies do exist and they often work. And when they don't work and it falls apart and people go to jail, then it's never referred to as a conspiracy theory again. Nobody refers to Iran-Contra as a conspiracy theory because, like, it was a conspiracy and a bunch of people were charged and Oliver North was convicted of a felony and other people were found to have done serious wrongful acts. And yet you never hear that referred to as a conspiracy theory because the establishment press is incredibly dismissive of conspiracy theories. Of course, the thousands of people sitting in jail, in prison, for conspiracy to commit homicide, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to distribute narcotics. To them, conspiracy must be pretty real. Yes. So, that happened, the arrest of one of the killers of Tupac, and hopefully this will lead to more developments in both his murder, the murder of Christopher Wallace, aka Biggie Smalls, and the much larger conspiracy that I believe exists behind both of those. So, I'm back. I'm looking forward to doing more podcasts in the very near future, and you'll be hearing from me here on The Weird Part with Vincent Treewell. Thank you, and good night.